today we're up to, we're doing chapter 32, and we're up to subsection Samach Gimel. We're up to Seif Samach Gimel 63. So yesterday we learned about the height of the tefillin. We learned that it has to be square, and we also learned that the height of the tefillin, there's really no shiur, there's no measure. You can make it as high or as low as you want. But he did talk about that also, that when the rabbis, they would make it, you know, like three fingers, he said, three fingers and much, so it's stands out in an honorable way. But he spoke about the students in front of the rabbi, they should have it more modestly, so only one finger and a half. Now, before we talked in Samach Gimel, we're going to talk about the actual, but how big and wide does it have to be? We only learned that it has to be square, but we didn't learn about any of the real sizes, but how, what is the size of the square? So in Sif Samach Gimel, in subsection 63, it says, V'chein oydech v'roichav habatim ein lo shir. There is no measure, there is no restriction of a measure or any limit of how the length or the width, how it should be, as long as it's square. Avol roich oydech v'roichav hatitudo yesh lo shir. However, the length and the width of the titura, titura is the bottom part, which we learned before, that's the box sits on the titura. The titura is the part that opens up and allows for the parchments to go inside, and then it gets closed. It also has the strap going through the back of it behind the titura. So the actual square of the titura does have a shear. Minimally, it should be larger than the size than a finger. The size, this is called the size of the finger. It should be at least that much. Sha'arei amru chachamim, because the chachamim said that mokom yesh b'roish lahaniach beis tefillin. And the reason we come up with this, that it has to be at least an etzba, is because our sages tell us that there is space on one's head to put on two tefillin. Two tefillin, meaning from the top to the bottom, or it means from side to side, but if the parshas, presumably I'm thinking it means here from the top to the bottom, but he's saying that v'imo yukshedim b'ke etzba, if one etzba would be kosher, then hoyamokim l'niach gimel tefillin, then there would be space to put three tefillins. So the fact that they say that there's a space to put two tefillin, that tells us that the size is at least larger than an etzba, and that's why there's only place for two. Apparently, there is two etzbas space on the head, two, and if it's less than that, then you would have space to put three etzbas over there. Apparently, I should say there is space for three etzbas on the head to put the tefillin on. So had it been anything, had it been enough to have an etzba, then you could put three tefillin. So why does it say only two? That tells us that there has to be minimally the size of an etzba. But he further says, v'ago'inim amru, the go'inim, those are the go'inim literally means the geniuses, but that's a name for a period of rabbis who followed the Talmud. After the completion of the Talmud came the era of the go'inim. So the Ga'inim, they said, Shabotim shel roish tzorich liyis etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim. They talked about the actual compartment, that it should be two fingers by two fingers, lechatchila, to begin with. It must be at least two by two. V'im pichas loy posel. But if you make it less, it's not disqualified, but that's what we need to do to begin with, to have it two fingers by two fingers be the side. And ubotim, that's for the tefillin shel rosh, that's for the head box. But tefillin shel rosh, and ubotim shel yad, and the compartments for the hand parshas, should be etzbal etzbal lechatchila, should be a finger by a finger. That's the hand part. V'chol etzba stam higudl. When we talk about a finger, we're talking about the thumb, is the gudl. And we're talking about the thickness of the gudl. Because there is the thickness is also a difference, because that's thicker than the rest of the fingers. So he says, "V'yesh lochus li divreya." He says we should be worried about their words, af shaloi nagu kein, even though it's not the custom so. And that's the reason why in Chabad, we make it a little bit, not the very tiny tefillin, in order, because the small tefillin that you have don't meet this qualification. They're not 2 fingers by 2 fingers. And usually we make the hand tefillin equal to the head tefillin, same size. The boxes are the same size. But therefore, we get it etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim to meet this das goinim, to fulfill the view of the goinim. And now we're talking about in subsection 64, Samagdala, we're talking about the shin. On the Shel Rosh, you will see there is a shin. So he says the shin shel tefillin, that shin that goes on the tefillin, on the head tefillin, is halacha l'moshe mesinai. This has been passed down as a tradition, a law from Moshe at Sinai. And the tradition was that sheyase ba'oid habotim shel rosh, that in the leather of the head compartments, he should make kimin shin boiletas. He should make like a shin that protrudes mikimote ha'oir, from the leather's bend, the folding of the letter's skin, to create the letter shin. Echad mi minoi, ve'echad mi smoiloi. So there comes one shin from the right side of the tefillin, and one shin on the left side of the tefillin. Now, these shin have a different shape. And the kiblu ha-goinim, so by the tradition, again, of the goinim, they received the tradition, sha-shin shel yimin ha-meniach, the shin which is on the right side of the one that puts it on, his right side, tiya shel gimel roshim, that should have 3 heads, the shin with 3 sticks going out. Vishel smoil ha-meniach, and the one that's on the left side of the one who's putting on the tefillin, on his box, shel dalad roshim, has 4 heads. If you take a look on your tefillin, you will see one has 4 sticks going out. Most of the shins and the Torah shins only have 3. But this particular one on the tefillin, it has 4 on the left side. If you swap it around, you made vim hofach. If you made it the other way around, let's say you did the right one, you did 4. Right, and the left one you did 3. That's okay. Lo posel. You didn't, in the after fact, you did not disqualify the tefillin. Now, the Vahayudin Shel Hashinin, and the Yud of the shins, that every shin has the top part, is called the Yud, that's at the top. So we need that Yud, Bein Bishal Gimel Roshim, Bein Bishal Dal Roshim, whether it's on the one that has 4 tops or it only has 3 tops, Tzrichim Liga Lemato Bishulei Hashinim. They need to touch at the bottom of the shin. That's why they have these all the ways going down to the bottom of the shin. The chudon shel shulei hashinim, and the point of the bottom of the shin, tzorich sheyagia ad mokoim hatfar lechatchila, that needs to reach all the ways down to where the sewing goes on. So the shin has to go all the ways down there. Ve'lo yamshich hashinim harbe, he shouldn't draw them line. Ela shegam chudam shel shuleyem yirnira al atfar lechatchila. Not sure what he means here. Lo yamshich hashin in harbe. Shegam chudon shel shuleihem. Chudon shel shulei hashinim. Tzorech sheyigad mokom atfar. That's one thing. The point has to go to the bottom. Then it says not to extend the shin in harbe. Elo shegam chudon shel shuleihem. I'm not exactly sure what he's saying over here. But anyways, this is the way it looks like. It's interesting, okay? Now you're getting a good look on the tefillin with all the details. You didn't even notice that it was 3 and 4 on both sides.
I didn't know it was 3. Huh?
There was 3. Okay, there was 3 and 4.
Does the stand for Shaddai?
That's, yeah, for Hashem's name, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now, in subsection 65, Yesh Emrim, there's those that say, Shashinim Tzrichim Liyos Mikimotei Hoir, that the shinim need to be from the folds of the skin, but vim osam betfus, but if you make it in a press, in a form, lo yotzo, then you haven't fulfilled your obligation. Why? Mipnei shehu kichoyok toiches, because that's similar to when you're writing and you're erasing the sides and you're creating the letter. Sha'af shashinim haboiltes betfus, because if you're going to have on a press like the shape of these shins, and it's going to press out on it, so it turns out that the shinim that are protruding from the press that imprint into the leather that shape of the shin, they are actually pushing the leather, and they are engraving the shape of those letters. So what they're doing is they're pushing the actual letters. It's not like they're pulling in the outside parts and the letters are forming, but you're actually pushing the letters out with the press, with the protruding shin that is pressing against the letter. So this is engraving the actual letters itself and not around the letters, and the letters are formed. In other words, you're not pressing around the letters, you know, and the letters are shaped by itself. So, for example, if it was engraved and the press was all around the shin, then that would be toicha. But in this case, you're pressing the letters, and the letters are coming out. Ha'oir shehurach, the skin, which is soft, nitchak gam svivas blitas hashin shebitfus, is also pressed around the protrusion of the shin, which is in the press, which is on the form. By the other part of the press, because it works both ways. So you have to have a press, you have a top and a bottom. So you have the protruding shin, let's say, coming from the bottom, or from the top, it doesn't matter, I'm giving an example. So if you have the shin coming from the bottom, but on the opposite side you have a press which goes all around the shin, it's pressing down the other side. That's how you get a shin. So the shin goes out, the press pushes it out, and on the other side the press is flat all around the shin, which pushes it in. So that means that some of the leather on the top is being pushed around the shin to create the letter shin. So you have actually the shin pushing on one side, the protruding leather pushing the letter shape into the leather, but on the other side you have it shaping it all around the shin by the other press. That is chok toiches. The second press in which the shin sinks into it, So I'm guessing is the way they do it is they have the letter protruding that fit in right into a press which is on top. So you have a top press. The top press is basically a flat press with an intruding, with the shin in it. The bottom one is with the shin protruding. When you put it against the when you put that on the press, so that prints it into the leather, but still the other part separates it all around to around the letter. So shaguf hashin shekei b'techa b'toy choyseo boiltin boy, and the middle in between the shins are going inside to that, and it presses it down. And they push the middle parts of the shin into the leather so that there should be a shin. Otherwise, everything is going to go up. You need that to press it back. So, reverse, right? And that will be chok toiches. So, some people say You can't use a press for that. And you have to make it just with the folds. You got to have to do it from the folds of the skin by yourself to create that without a press. But the Yesh Emrim, there's those that disagree. They say, that we don't have to worry about this shin for the prohibition of Chok Toiches, which would be by writing that you can't have the letter formed by shaping around it, by erasing around and creating the letter. Because the sages only disqualified engraving from around, creating Elo Beparshia Shel Tefillin Umezuzas, only by the portions of the Tefillin Umezuzas. V'chein B'Sefer Torah U'Beget, also by a Sefer Torah, also by a divorce. Because in all these cases, the Torah writes, Shenemarim Kesiva B'Torah. Torah says you should write, Kesiva V'Loi Chakika, that means to write, but not to engrave, meaning not to create the world by scraping away, by engraving. But over here, Avo B'Shinzu, but by this shin, since it's by tradition Moshe that there's no word that has to be written, this has been the simple accepted custom to do it in a press. And still, it is fitting to worry for the first opinion. I don't know. I mean, to me, it almost seems obvious that this is done by press. It's so perfect. So perfect, because otherwise, how would they do it?
Well, not only that, the time. You know what the cost factor would be?
Yeah.
Time?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not made versus machine made. Right? Semi machine. It's a prop.
But to also to create a shin is a complex kind of a.
Plus, you couldn't create the box in that fashion if you didn't use a press. Mm-hmm. No person could do that by hand that perfectly. So everything is done with a press.
Okay, no, but the boxes itself is not the problem. The only issue we have now is the shin.
Yeah, so
how do you deal with the shin? Do you go ahead and do it manually, get the leather there and create that leather shin? But we don't do that. It doesn't seem, because our tefillin look too perfect to be...
It is impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive.
Shin guy. Shin guy, yeah.
Okay.
We're playing hockey or baseball?
So now we're going to talk about in subsection 66. So we're talking about the titura shel tefillin. Titura, as we said before, is the bottom part of the tefillin. We talked about a box and we talked about a titura. We need to have, the box needs to have a bottom. And that bottom is called the titura. And that is also, titura shel tefillin is halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. These halachas passed down from Moshe from Sinai, which basically means if you're going to look in the Torah, you're not going to find anywhere in the Torah all these details. These laws are nowhere to be found in the Torah, and they're not also have not been instituted by the rabbis. This is the tefillin which Moshe Rabbeinu was shown by Hashem how the tefillin should be, and the construction of the tefillin and all these laws. So it's also been passed down to Moshe that there needs to be a bottom of the tefillin. Whether we're talking about the hand tefillin needs the bottom, the titura, and bein bishal rosh, and also in the head tefillin. So what does it mean, titura hu gesher? Titura means a bridge. B'lashon Arami. In Aramaic, it means a bridge. Which means, what does it mean? Dehainu sheyosim oir lemato, that you have to put some leather below, lechasis pi habatim, that is going to cover the openings of the compartments. So when you have the tefillin shel rosh, you need to put a piece of leather below. V'nira ke'ein daf shel gesher. That comes like a bridge, like a board on a bridge. So that becomes like a straight board. So you need a board to place it beneath the opening of the parsha. That's one part. Then we have another part, in the back of it, we have what's called the mabarta. That's the passing which we put the straps through. So that's called the mabarta. V'chein mabarta shel tefillin. Also the fact that you have a passage place for the ritzuis, for the straps of the tefillin, is also halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. This was also given down to Moshe by Sinai, to have that part. Bein b'shel yad, bein b'shel rosh, both on the hand tefillin and on the head tefillin. And which means really the hainu she'oira titura, that the skin that is the titura, that is that board on the bottom, should be long enough, yi'aruch u'boilet, that it should be long and protruding mitzad echad, on one side it protrudes, Vablita tia kafula le'ever haritsua b'toicha, and the protrusion should be doubled. So you have it one, because if you didn't need to put through the ritsua, you can put that daf right next to the parchment. But since we need the ritsua, so you have that, and you fold it. Vablita tia kafula le'ever haritsua b'toicha. And this protrusion should be doubled to the side of the ritsua, which is in it. I actually think we're making a board at the bottom, and you are bending it over towards the box so that you can put through the strap through it. That's why that's called the ma'barta, that it goes through, because the ritsuas go through there. That's why it's called ma'barta. That's the outer part of the that's the outer part of the tefillin. So you have here, so this is called the titura, the bottom. This is called mabarta. This is the mabarta because the straps of the tefillin goes through the mabarta. That's called the mabarta. Now,
what they did was, there's multiple layers of leather. They yeah. glue it together.
No, but this is all made out of one skin. That's the whole thing we learned before.
That's one skin.
All one skin. This is all. This is also all made out of one.
So
out of one piece.
Yours is one piece.
Yeah, yes, mine is one piece. Yeah, it's called oirechad. Yeah, but those that we saw in the video was also from one skin. Yeah. Was considered oirechad. Yeah. Okay, let's just go one more. So, ulefi shaloch alamayshem esinai, because also the aloch alamayshem esinai is shemokoyim moishav atefillin, that the place where the tefillin sits, daina tituda yir meruba mamash. So we need this also to be square. We learned before that the place where the tefillin is sitting on your hand needs to be square. So now we have a problem. This needs to be square also. This needs to be a square. So what happens is, so that's why it's necessary to cut in on the mabarta on both sides, where the square of the Torah finishes, so that the Mabarta should not be wide, like the width of the Torah, so that the square of the Torah should be recognizable. Here, look at this. So what he's saying over here is like this. This bottom piece over here, this needs to be square.
Right.
And therefore, he tells you, you have to cut in. And we also have the mabarta, that the mabarta goes beyond the square. So if you didn't cut in, you see these cuts over here?
Right.
If you didn't cut these cuts in there, then the width of the mabarta, you would count it till here, you wouldn't see where the square ends. But because you cut in over here, so this remains the square.
Right.
And that's why you have these pieces over here to form a square. So because it has to be square, that's why it's cut into these two sides, so that you can have show the square. So that you don't, because you don't want to have it, the whole mabarta going like one piece over here, because you want to have a square there. So you have a square, and then you have the mabarta over here.
So what it is, they take, this is one piece, but it's layered. Because
no,
leather isn't
this
that
is,
thick.
No, this is a piece of leather, and it goes around this way.
Yeah, but you know,
they stretch it to this way.
Yeah, but they stretch it, but it's multi-layered because you can see the layers. See?
No, but let me just say,
it's all one piece.
No,
but when they fold it,
then they fold. And when
they
fold it over,
back and forth, they glue it. When they fold it,
and they sew
and
it.
Then they sew it and they cut it out. Right, they cut it from the layer.
They use drills. Use all kind of tools. All everything that you would use to construct it.
So you
guys
can actually see the layers.
Yeah, they glue together.
Because you can see your top layer.
Right now. Okay, let's do quickly. Samach Zion, 67. So when you put in the parsha inside the you have to roll in the parsha inside, right?
Yeah.
So how do you roll it? From the beginning to the end? So he says no, from the end to the beginning. Tzorich liglo ko parsha mesoifu letchiloso. You roll it from the end to the beginning, so that when you open it up, you have the beginning. Like when you put it into its compartment. Kimoi, just like a mezuzah, is also nigleles me'achar me'echot klap ishma. Like a mezuzah, you also roll from echot from the last word of the pasuk towards the first one. That's how you roll the mezuzah. You don't roll the mezuzah backwards. You roll it from the back. So when you open up, you start reading in the right side. For the reason explained in Yerdei Simresh Peches. Sif Samaches.
But what it is, it's telling you everything. It's not leaving anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. You know what? We'll leave it over here.